This week on Chicago Beer Fest, Nick and I are joined by Afro Beer Chick as we recap our Dark Lord Day adventures in Munster, Indiana. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And special guest joining us.
We are here with the drunkest human we've ever seen at a beer festival. Shalonda White, the return of Afro Beer Chick.
Welcome back.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. The drunkest? No, I was not the drunkest at Dark Lord Day.
I don't know. You were getting it in. We ran into you, and it was full
there
throttle.
There was probably people drunker at the end.
Yeah. But...
No, okay. Yeah. Yes, I was intoxicated, yeah, but not the drunkest.
We all saw each other at that stupid metal show in Munster, where you pick up your allotment of the Dark Lord. So
right, yeah. So yeah. We are here to recap Dark Lord Day 2019.
Yeah, from what I gather, it's the 17th one, and the first one was on draft.
Okay,
but who the hell knows? Yeah, I know there's definitely been wax since 2004.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would put this at 16?
15, 16, 15, yeah.
15, 16?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then to go along with this, we usually drink a bottle of the regular, but you decided to share a variant this time.
We are all in. We are enjoying the, they should just call this beer Sex, Drugs, and Cash. It's the, what is it, Rari Crochet? Is that how you say that? Rari Crotchet?
Rari Crotchet.
Yeah, man, this is the $400 varietal, man. You know, we've been doing this show for 5 years. Every year we drink an OG Dark Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of stick to the script. Sometimes it's a little more roasty. Sometimes but it's kind of the same every year. Right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little more hot. But I'm like, dude, we've never had a variant on this fucking show. So
Right. We're
doing it. We got these fancy cups. I got the coffee mug. I love the, what are we calling this, man? It's the sparkles, but what's the color? It's like some kind of purple.
Oh, the fuchsia?
The fuchsia.
Yeah.
Fuchsia
sparkle.
So
what is the Rari Crotchet? Like,
what is a Rari Crotchet?
Yeah.
What is this 8-bit waterproof label, right? The this is, what is it, whiskey barrels? No, port whiskey barrels with vanilla, freeze dried strawberries, cacao, and toasted coconut.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder why the freeze dry is noted. Why not just strawberries?
Why not just throw strawberries in there?
What are you getting from freeze-dried?
Yeah. Hmm. More of like a smoothie vibe versus like a tart fresh fruit vibe?
Maybe? I know when you use like freeze-dried strawberries in something, it's usually give you like a powdery strawberry taste. So maybe they had to, with the stout, maybe that was kind of the vibe they were going for?
Maybe too, you get rid of bacteria stuff, like the inconsistencies that could happen.
It's a fair question. Wish we could have asked.
too drunk and too
wet from the rain, or hiding from the rain.
Right.
Yeah.
But that sweetness, that portness, very wine-like comes through. It's a lip smacker.
Yeah. This one's fun. I didn't try them all. We were saying in the pre-show, I tried the apple brandy one. I believe that's like a Calaveros or something. And I tried the, cheers to Phil Renda. You remember Phil Renda from Half Acres Party, where he's the one that went around and he was a citizen that marked everybody. I got to try chemtrail.
Okay.
A lot of cinnamon on that chemtrail, almost too big on cinnamon.
Okay.
And then I tried this one and I tried Lowstar. And I gotta tell you something, man, I think Lowstar is my jam out of the three that I had, and OG, I had OG. But
that was the only one I had, so the coconut variety, right?
Yeah.
You need to let people know what these are. No one knows. You're just saying names.
That's true.
To me, Lowstar was a little too sweet, so it was just, I don't know, it was okay.
You mentioned that, and I was like, dude, this is coming at me. Like, there was a couple times I had my little I had my little chalice, and I just put it up and just got a good whiff of it. You know, just kind of like a German chocolate cake with like double the coconut kind of vibe, right? Mm-hmm. Not like a candy vibe at all. I dug it. I dug it a lot.
Wow. But Chemtrail was at FOBAB, what, 6 months ago now, or 8 months ago now, and there was another variant at FOBAB too, I believe.
Lowstar is Sauternes Whiskey Barrels with Toasted Coconut, whatever the fuck Sauternes Whiskey Barrels is.
So whatever, that's the company probably, right?
Yeah.
The distillery?
The region.
Or the distillery?
Let's figure it out. But yeah, they were the only ones, I think they didn't half step at all with that Chemtrail at FOBAB. I think you saw crews like Microphone and even more, they had bigger parties at their brewery.
Right.
And like,
but Floyd's is like, we have a lot
Floyd's
of this.
Like, here goes some Chemtrail.
Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. All right. So what other variants do you have?
Oh my God. People kept throwing variants at me. I had, what is it? Brochure?
I think it's Brochure.
I have the Rari.
Not to be confused with last year's Berserker.
I kind of had them all. Cause every time I turned around, somebody was bringing me a pour of here, taste this. And I would have to say of them all, the Rari was my favorite.
Okay.
13 variants in total this year.
13?
13. Yeah. This party's all about
the
variants.
They were like, yo, Goose, how many did Goose have this year?
Maybe a career high with like maybe 7 or 8, right?
Right. They're like, Goose, hold my beer.
Hold this. We'll be right back.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought about this, man. We give the OG Dark Lord a lot of shit, right? Because, you know.
I think most people do. Soy sauce.
Yeah. They're always dogging it, right? And then, and I was thinking, like, well, what if, Bourbon County Stout is a good point. Bourbon County Stout was built for a barrel, right?
Right.
So the OG Bourbon County non-barrel aged, well, it was like Demolition, not Demolition, but Night Stalker was the hopped up version of that. But that beer by itself, I know they'll tell you it's not much to get excited about. But then you put it in a barrel, and that's when the magic happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of getting the impression, like, this is the equivalent of non-barrel aged BCS, the OG Dark Lord, right? Like, it's okay by itself, but then you have like French Vanilla Militia, or if that fucking Hangie, which I really want to try this year, but last year I think that's the best beer they make is fucking Hangie.
Okay.
You know, I think it takes on, it's all about the variants. That's all I was trying to say.
Until 16 years ago, I'm sure it was someone trying it out, and it sort of worked out, right, for them. Like, you know, they knew how to brew and they knew how to do, but Russian Imperial Stout 16 years ago weren't as prevalent as they are now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the impression. I saw a Nick Floyd interview, and he said, you know, there was this guy over in the city winning all these awards for his stout, and that's what made him want to brew a stout. And I'm thinking, he's probably talking about Crowley, right? That's what I was guessing.
Or Goose, right?
Yeah, or the boys at Goose.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, so 10,500 people.
Yeah.
There. That's, you could probably add a few other 100 on that weren't counted for.
Yeah.
Right.
Man.
So close to 11,000 people showing up for that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The Goose guy said that's block party size for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Over 2 days, right?
Yeah.
And here it is, you have Dark Lord all one day.
Mm-hmm. And block party is free.
It's not $180? It's not $180.
You don't get any bottles though. You don't get any
beer.
It's still
gonna buy your own beer.
Yeah, this new thing. It's new, right? All the drafts on tap. I don't think that hasn't been this whole 16 years where you get them all on tap. And then and then these guest drafts, 50 guest drafts on tap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the new standard. That was a fun time, man. I heard some really bad things about the rain. Like, I was good during the rainfall, but apparently people were like, you know, if you were in line to get one of these variants and they just stopped pouring because I guess there was lightning. Mm-hmm. So the staff is like, hey, not only are we not pouring, but we're also not telling you what's the deal.
Okay.
And you're hearing conflicting reports about, hey, the entire fest has been shut down, right? Ooh. And no one's really updating you. So people were a little frustrated by that. To the point where Floyd's is offering, like, Monday through Friday, they're offering, like, a rain check.
Oh, wow.
So if you call them.
For what? Like, a whole thing?
Anybody who has a ticket, you call the brewery between, 9 and 4, and you tell them your experience. They want details. They will offer you a voucher for next year, and you just pay $40 for the voucher. Gives you the right to buy the ticket for next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, because I guess if you're coming in from out of town, that's probably a bummer.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people cleared out when it still started raining.
Yeah, even who was your, remember whoever founded Girls Playing Out, Tamara Mullins? Mm-hmm. She was saying she was in line when the rain fell.
Tamara was there. I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah. So I didn't see her.
So she's like, they're rushing people through, and then it's really slick inside the brewery.
Yeah.
And they're forcing you to go through. It's all really dangerous and like crazy. And
so you're holding your bottles that you're worried about dropping. Yeah.
And I can't see them doing that because they don't want to be a liability on their end. So like, yeah, we shut this down. It's over with.
But they had a lot of covered areas you could hide out under that pavilion. There was most of the picnic tables had umbrellas going on, right? So there was areas to get to, but not for 10,000 people.
I think the bottle share area and the stage were probably the biggest tents, and then after that, yeah, you kind of had to get in where you fit in, man.
Yeah.
Double down in one of those those stalls or something, man.
So this was my first time in about a decade. I do remember going at some point because someone had a golden ticket and they needed help getting bottles. But actually going and what I remember, probably 2009.
Oh, wow.
Was the last time I was there. Before the golden tickets, you had to wait in line to buy your beer.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember 2010 was my first year. That was Green Wax.
Okay.
And I think I've been to all of them except for maybe two. Yeah, a couple years we had Alex Miramontes on, and then we had Chris Jacobson on 1 year. We didn't go. And then, but I think I've been to all the other ones since 2010. Mm-hmm.
Well, this was my first one.
Okay.
And it was very interesting. So, I was asking people, like, what should I expect? And they were telling me, hey, it's going to be a beautiful shit show. I'm like, oh, they were just playing. They're trying to scare me. That's exactly what it was. I was not ready for some of the things that I've seen. I was not ready.
Because you instantly, if you're waiting in line just to get in, people are like, well, I'm in line. I guess I'll open beer.
Well, funny because as soon as I crossed over the parking lot after I got out of my Uber and I'm going through this parking lot. And so shouts out to Autumn and Aaron. I didn't even know who these people were. I said, hey, friend, like you need a beer. And I pre-gamed with them for about an hour.
Hello, friend.
Right. Yeah. So hanging out with the people who had their tables out with their on their trucks and all that. So by the time I actually got in line, the line was at the end anyway. Like, man, it was a bit overwhelming, like, because I was a little buzzed going into the game. And that was at like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds like me, like drinking before you go drinking, right?
Right.
I said, yeah, that happens.
When you pregame FOBAB or something like that. Yeah.
Or like bug, yeah. You end up in a weird space.
But like drinking with people like that, you realize that there's too many breweries and too many beers for you to even keep track of, because someone's like, oh, they pull out this bottle of whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, they have 500 bottles. It's their coffee aged marshmallow stout aged in port barrels. And you're like, they're like over the moon, like so happy to share it with you. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I'll try it. I don't remember what it was now. Yeah, sort of thing. Crazy.
One thing I like about this is that kind of the excitement about the variants, right? But and the bottles. But yeah, that part about the sharing. Because, like, yeah, I think Claire's Thirsty Ale came out.
Yeah.
And then we passed it to some guys behind us who were from, like,
Iowa.
Yeah, they were from Iowa, and they're sharing something that we've never heard of.
And they didn't know what Haymarket was.
Yeah.
They didn't know what Claire's was.
No, man, this is the dude that created FOBAB, man. You got to drink this beer.
They didn't even know what FOBAB was.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with some dudes. It was two dudes from France. They bought beer from France. And then another guy came from Australia just to go to Dark Lord Day. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
And they were sharing beer. And I was like, man, I can't even tell you what it is now because I really don't remember. But I do remember one of them was pretty good. So, if I have to put that out there, try to figure out what it was. But I was just amazed. Like, people are coming in from out of the country to go to this party. I was not expecting that.
During the rain delay, I was I just happened to be next to some cats from Ohio, and they were talking about one of them was a transplant who lives in Ohio now. And he was saying how he was at the Map Room when they heard that Nick Floyd was brewing a stout, right?
Okay.
And then, like, so he's talking about the very first Dark Lord Day. And that's when he's the one that said, hey, it's draft only. So I don't even know that, but this is 03. And I know that 04 is when they bottled it, right?
For the first time.
That was Red Wax in 04. But he's saying, like, it was just 50 people hanging out on some makeshift, like, wooden bench right outside the pub, and they heard at the Map Room that Floyd was brewing a stout, and they got over there. right? And it's like imagining like that scene versus like
what it is. It's a proper festival now.
Yeah.
Cool. I know before the golden tickets happened, everyone was basically like, Dark Lord Day is a joke. It's a mess. Like, hire someone to do this. You guys are making so much money. Yeah. And they did. They scaled up nicely.
It is a bit of a mess, right? It's maybe a little bit more than a bit, right? I do like how they, like, my bottle experience, it was the easiest out of all the ones I've been to. Sometimes, that line is just as, like, dense and pressing as the line for drafts. But this time, I rolled right up.
Okay.
Got bottles rolled right out. The longest line was when we were hanging out for Lodestar and we're breaking out that Bramble. That Bramble was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Until somebody kicked it over.
I waited in the line for for the Dark Matter merch. That was longer than any beer line. It's like, we're not even getting beer here. We're just getting glasses and barrel-aged coffee that I can get at their store.
I was in that line. I was in the line to go take a break, and I was towards the front. I was maybe like sixth person from the front getting ready to get served. And then there is this young lady, and who was the drunkest more than me. She got to pulling off clothes and exposing herself. So I jumped out of line.
For what?
She was drunk. She was toasted. So I jumped out of line to go help her clothe herself and get her some help. Because, you know, there are people coming around her, you know, starting to make a crowd. And I've lost my spot in the line.
Oh.
You know, I said, I refuse to get back into it.
Yeah, the Dark Matter line, you could get those little glasses.
You can? At the store?
No, at the fest. I believe that's the only place you can get them, but you can get their coffee variants at the store.
Yeah.
The cold brew ones. Then they were doing like four different barrel-aged coffees, which I don't know if you can get those at their shops.
I mean, limited supply, I think. I kind of want to go when the show's over to the one on Belmont and pick up
They have anything.
All the things, yeah. That's the thing. So Brad hit me up. He's like, "Man, you want some of these little dark matter cups?" I'm like, "Hell yeah!" Because like to your point, I didn't get any of those cups for almost 4 years. Last time I got those cups was 4 years ago because they go the fastest. Mm-hmm. The variants and the dark matter stuff goes the fastest. At this thing, it's over.
And it's a silly line to wait in, right? Like your end result is buying a glass.
Right.
So you have to hope that you're also by people that are sharing beer, so which you usually are at Dark Lord Day. Mm-hmm. So I was sharing beer with people in line there. But other than that, you're just in the sun or the rain to buy a glass.
Yeah. I really like the 8-bit theme over most of the variants this year. They all look like old classic like Sega and Nintendo video games. Many of them do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, and the variant count, man, that was kind of interesting. I really went to try the Mezcal one, and the Mezcal one is only, like, these are 1,700, right? I think the most was, like, French Vanilla Militia at, like, I want to say 2,500, right?
Okay.
But Rari and Lodestar, that's the one with the Just Coconut, those are 1,700. But that Reptile Fund, the Mezcal Barrel, Asian Bourbon Barrels and Mezcal Barrels, Reptile Fund, 200 barrels.
Wow.
Yeah, 200 bottles, I mean. Sorry, 200 bottles. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And this was, I believe, the first year they introduced this tap-to-pay kind of thing, right?
No, I think that was last year.
Oh, okay. So they had a thing where you had a wristband, you could put a code in. I didn't end up going through with this. I just paid with my card the whole time.
Yeah.
But I think you just sync up your card or add your card, and you have a PIN, and then you just, you know, tap the little square kiosk, and you get to go. So you have no idea how much money you're spending.
Yeah, water, canned water with like a really funky label, and you know, just like a clear can with just like the waterproof label wrapped around it, like a beer, like a beer bottle, a beer can.
Yeah, they have that going. You could donate, and usually grab a couple cans.
Yeah, secondary market for these beers is insane, man. Insane.
What are you seeing?
Reptile Fund, like 170 for the Reptile Fund.
Okay.
You know, we were talking about, you know, that day that we talked about Rari's going for 200. See, we've heard it go as much as 600. You know, 400 is pretty consistent all day, like $400 for a bottle of beer.
Okay.
Yeah. A cardinal payment.
Yeah.
What's regular Dark Lord?
Is it just like anywhere between like 25 and 40.
Okay, so yeah, not, like nothing crazy, but okay.
Yeah. I saw a good play where somebody was offering hey, give me an orange chantilly from phase 3 and give me a blazed orange and I'll give you a dark.
Okay.
Somebody with a dark lord was asking for those.
That's how popular the phase three stuff.
Oh my god, it is so hard trying to find phase three. I have called every single store on their list, and we're out of stock.
So you haven't had any of it?
I haven't had it, and I want to try it so bad.
You think it's worth it?
I don't know. I keep hearing great things. I mean, I keep hearing all the hype about it, so it's like I really want to try it now. So I mean. Who knows?
Dark Lord Day makes you or makes me question, like, is it worth it? Is any of it worth it? It's all the amount of good beer. There's so much good beer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's way less bad beer than there ever was. Like, you have most things and you're like, man, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So the level, the bar has been raised. And so
that's true.
How good could phase three be versus Alarmist Le Juice that you could just roll up and get cans.
I think it's more about the curiosity, because mm-hmm. I have had, you know, like Alarmist and right. I go to Cordura. So it's more about the curiosity of like, damn, I can't get this beer right now, and I really want to try it. What the hell is going on? Why can't I get it
FOMO
right now?
FOMO is real, man. FOMO is real. I mean, dude, I think that's part of the adventure. Like, I wanted to go back out. You know, that's tradition, right? Like, Dark Lord Day happens, and then that following next three-day run, they're tapping everything they got, right, from all the variants. So,
okay.
You know, but then, like, if you didn't go Sunday, apparently everything was gone except for, like, OG from the last 3 years. But if you didn't go, they tapped all this stuff on Sunday, I think.
Are they still tapping it?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's all gone. People were going out Monday, and it was all gone.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, like, even with the phase three stuff or even with these variants, like, you don't know what they look like unless you have one or unless someone shows you theirs. Or with the phase three stuff, you don't – unless – Brad's got this thing is, like, if that beer's gone before I can get to the store to get it, that beer don't exist, right? That's Brad.
Yeah, it does.
It's a good logic. But, out of sight, out of mind.
It's the same idea with all these people sharing beers from Australia or even Ohio. That's right there. Like, I don't know what that is. I don't care. I've never had – 450 brewing stuff. I see it all the time.
I had one at Dark Lord.
Yeah, I see it all the time on Instagram. I'm like, those look cool. I'm not going out of my way to get this beer.
Maybe when I drive to Pittsburgh for this fest, I'm going to have to stop and get some.
There is something to be said about the adventure, man. I do like that phase three. You know, they post all their – on their Twitter feed is all about where the truck's going to go.
Okay.
Right? And then
got the hype.
I love the hype. Mm-hmm. I love the adventure. I love the hunt for the variants. I love the excitement that people have, you know, or the mm-hmm. or the bummer if you got one of those sweet dessert wine barrel-aged ones like we were talking about.
But that's – yeah, the allure of it all has turned into, like, almost like the shoe game of
– Oh,
like,
Max Profits,
like,
bro.
That, right?
Max Profits. Like, we're hanging out at – what was it, at Goose, right before Bug, and people are rolling out like it's nobody's business with like $90 four-packs of BCS coffee, the little 12-ounce bottle four-packs from 2014. It was like $90, and I'm just seeing them stroll out like it's nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're at that point. That's a very good point. Like, it is very comparable to the hype of shoes.
Right.
Yeah. I think for me, I still have to have, like, there has to be a limit. I mean, you get to spend $90 for a four-pack or even $60. That's a bit much.
Right.
I'm tapping out at that point.
Yeah, I saw you post on Twitter about, like, what's your limit on your four-pack?
Yeah.
And I said I saw Salamoth for, what was it, did I say 7 or 80?
80 for a four-pack?
Of Salamoth barrel-aged beer, right?
Was it
60 or 80? 60 or 80. I forget.
Mind you, this was 60-plus tax, so it was like, no, I'm still not doing it.
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to get some goddamn tequila at that point.
Yeah. You're going to get a good bottle of bourbon. Actually, you can get damn near two bottles of bourbon and call it a day. So.
What was your favorite part about Dark Lord Day, Shalonda?
Okay, the sober part?
the sober part was my favorite part.
The sober part? It was the bottle share. It was just basically just... the different beers, don't ask me what I had, but the different beers that I had, how friendly everyone was. And then, you know, it was, I don't know, just trying different beers from different states that I had never even heard of. Like, I had never heard of 450, but I did try it, and it was pretty good, especially the slushy.
I want to say they're in, like, Indianapolis or something, right?
Yeah.
They make a lot of the cereal beers or the...
And a lot of Haze.
Haze Nugget something.
Yeah, they got the Hazy series, right?
Side Project, somebody, so they came with some whales on that day, and I really enjoyed myself with that one.
Yeah, I think it is one of those parties where like I really felt like, all right, I gotta find out what's going on, and I gotta like take all the pictures I can so I can remember what the fuck happened. Right? it was kind of a template for like, cause that's Dark Lord Day is the first big party I ever went to in craft beer. It's the only beer my mom will drink with me, right? Because it's like super, it's cloyingly sweet. It's like a dessert wine for her.
Yeah.
You know, but it was the first big party that kind of set the template on how I go to big parties as far as like, all right, cool, let's hang out a party, but then let's also like try to grab some content. And because you guys said, like, if you're not aiming for it, you won't remember none of this shit, right?
Right.
Yeah, but Dark Lord Day. And then it's like, it's essentially a South Suburban brewery. I grew up in the South Burbs. Shalana grew up in the South Burbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's very cool. It's a very cool scene. It kind of, you do kind of, FOMO is real. If I can't go to Dark Lord Day or FOBAB, like, I'm really kind of, like, not as happy.
Okay.
You know?
I was talking to some guys, and, like, on the hype of all the beers, the experience makes the beer better, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what this guy was saying and what we were talking about. It's like, coming to Dark Lord Day, you might, if you've had the beer and not gone, you might be like, oh, that wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But you're there, you have like this connection to it, so you like it just a little bit more than what it's worth, right? So that adds to it. So it's cool that they put on an event for it. Any of these breweries have events or releases for their beers. I think it just adds that experience to it, and it makes that beer memorable too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we do lose sight of the fact that, you know, like the wax bottles, that's kind of a Three Floyds. I'm sure other breweries did it before, but they kind of popularized it. This whole idea of the modern big-ass festival brie-only release, that kind of started with these guys. We kind of lose sight of that. So I think it's cool.
They,
I think it's
they
cool
made it big, around. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Oh, shout out to the vegans, man. The vegan presence was very real.
It was.
I got the vegan corn dog.
I did too.
I got the I tried to get the vegan gyro, but yeah, they ran out of.
You really just got a vegetarian gyro.
They just threw a bunch of potatoes on it, and they're like, "That's the last one." I'm like, "I should have shut it down." Oh, next year that they put all the vegan items, because the line for the Demon's Tap vegan stuff was like super long.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope next year they take all those people who love Tasty Murder and put them on this side and put all the vegans
in
a row.
Separate the vegans from everyone else.
We want
it, right?
We want
that's
vegan.
What Nick wants.
We
wants
want vegan
the vegans row. Somewhere else.
I was trying to live my vegan lifestyle, man, and I couldn't even do it. I was like, man, look.
How was the corn dog, though?
It was good.
Had some really good dark mustard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dark, like Dusseldorf or horseradish, whatever that's called. Yeah. It was solid. Yeah.
Nice. I think I had a brisket and a sausage. So. Yeah. They were good. Lots of food options. Like,
it was a lot of food options.
And the lines for food typically weren't very long, so it wasn't too bad. I don't know. Anything else about Dark Lord Day?
Oh, not that I can remember.
the purple wax, it seemed like some of the OG bottles had glitter. First of all the variant bottles had glitter wax, right? That's cool. Some of the OG bottles had glitter. Others did not.
Okay.
I'm under the impression that they just ran out of glitter. Right?
So we just ran out of glitter, so we just
gonna... So you're just going to get purple, and that's the end of that, right? Yeah. But I don't know, man. That's a fun party, man.
Yeah,
you know, that's a fun part. It's fun. It's fun to see everybody. It's a fun hang. I dug it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I survived it.
I still ain't seen no. I haven't sat down for like one metal set in any of my.
Okay.
Time there. I mean, I might go see a song or two. I never just hung out and watched the whole band. But
it's not necessarily your.
It's a bizarre scene, man. It's in Indiana, and it's a metal festival, and and there's this beer release. It's a very strange combo, but but it works, man. It works.
Nice. And yeah, shout out to we saw Holly there. She's been with Dark Lore or with Three Floyds forever now.
The plugs, man. Yeah. Holly.
Thank you, Holly. Holly was the one that got me in.
Shout out to Sarah. Yeah, they were very friendly. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cheers to those ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So now that Dark Lore Day is behind us, what's next? What's coming up?
I don't know, Brad.
Don't know? You haven't even
recovered I'm having flashbacks drinking this Rari. And this opens up too, man. I think I'm getting like a little more chocolate. The coconut is actually playing the background here, but I got big strawberry up front. Yeah. Now it's just more like a chocolate barrel aged dark lore right now. I wish there was more coconut. That low starts my jam still.
Yeah.
That didn't answer your question. I don't know what the fuck's going on this week.
Beguile's got their Mayiversary happening. Right. Was it Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
So team up with Dovetail. They got food trucks, lots of different beers on tap there.
Hailstorm is having a release on Saturday. Nice. Their cherry Vlad.
Ooh. I don't think I've had any of the Vlad series.
Coconut Vlad's the one.
Oh man, that's amazing. Cool. I've been chasing a good coconut stout ever since that one. I have not found one that comes close. Which, to the
what about Lodestar?
No, it still does I'm not.
I'm the only one on the Lodestar train.
It was fine. I don't know.
It was okay, but no, that coconut Vlad has no one has been able to touch it for me yet. Not even come close.
Coconut Vlad is quite nice. I enjoy the coconut in. It's not as intense, but the coconut in LA Looks, which is an IPA from Half Acre.
Yeah,
I enjoy the coconut in that too.
That's intense coconut. That's a suntan lotion. Yeah, it is LA Looks, so makes sense. All right, so you got Mayiversary. Head over there, grab some Russian Imperial Stouts. Mm-hmm. Although Beguile's got that Flannel Pajama series. That's a porter. Is this?
I want to say that's an oatmeal stout.
Oatmeal stout, yeah.
Yeah, then there's a barrel-aged version, yeah.
Yeah, so they might have that around.
There's a place called The Commons downtown where Half Acre versus Off Color Battle of the Brews beer dinner. Mm. That sounds good. Thursday, May 23rd, 7 p.m. It's a three-course dinner. You'll get six beers, two breweries squaring off.
Man, you got to get after this weekend because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
So lots of places also have discounts on their growler fills or cans to go. So, make your way to Noon Whistle, get whatever release they have this week. Alarmist.
Yeah. Right on. Cool. Shalana, what are you getting into coming up here, man? You said you mentioned a party in Pittsburgh. What's going on with the Afro Beer Chick?
That is, oh my God. So Fresh Fest is focusing on the black brewers here in the States. We have less than 50. So they're giving them basically a brew fest in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to go there on August 10th to go vend my t-shirts and my soon-to-be glassware whenever they come. I've been on countdown, so yeah.
Yeah, you've been rolling pretty hard with the t-shirt game, with the merchandise in general. We were talking about, it rained and then the Afro, and Afros and rain, they don't mix.
Afros and rain does not mix.
And we were like, man, what's next, man? You have some ponchos, some Afro beer chicken umbrellas?
Maybe I should. Since I last was on this show, it's been popping pretty hard. So I am now up to 12,000 t-shirts sold.
Wow.
That's insane.
And 2,000 hoodies. So it's really popping off, and I cannot wait for the glassware to hit. I'm actually working on a different type of style as well, so I'm going to have a variety of glassware on the website. So, man, it's been hitting pretty hard, and I've been enjoying it ever since. I think what it is, it's the interaction that I have on my Twitter page, because, I actually interact with my people, and they do like that, so I thank them every day.
Bro, how come you don't interact with our Twitter?
Well, they're all trolls. Jerks.
Fuck them all. No, I'm joking. No, we did not mean fuck them all.
Trying to tell me to drink some beer I don't want.
So one of these trolls offers, like, hey, you want to be the first one to try out a blow dryer and rollers for your hair? I'm like, beat it.
But speaking of that, I forgot. We never talked about Vice District closing. Downtown.
Oh, there South
was
Loop?
Like this controversy that happened on Reddit. I saw they got evicted. It said,
"Ouch!"
But we knew they were closing, right?
We knew it was coming. When you make that transition from when you go to open up in the suburbs, which the rent is way cheaper.
Yeah,
it was only a matter of time they were going to give up that rent space right. in the South Loop.
I think the initial plan was to keep them both open, but they quickly saw. Like the operating costs was, it became a transition, kind of like El Patron Taco. And
then someone was saying that there was all these damages that they had to pay for.
Because they put their building. I don't think the building was structured to have the kind of weight that they were putting into the. It was
tanks.
So they put a tank on the second level. They put a glycol cooler, chiller, or something. Oh, so okay. Not a different level. Yeah, they were saying. And then they had a lot of internal issues, too. Like, the two co-founders, really quit getting along all together. It was pretty – that was pretty sad to see because I kind of like those guys, man.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks for them. But now they're out in –
Homewood.
Homewood. Home Sweet Homewood, right downtown. Some of the guys that manage the Motor Row pub. I saw guests pouring out there. Mm-hmm. But they seem to be doing all right out there.
People were sharing the eviction photo and kind of just basically crapping on them, being like, either not knowing that the Homewood existed or just being like, oh, yeah, I never liked their beer, good riddance. It's like...
You do know they have another location, yeah, right?
Yeah, and, like, you knew this was happening. Like, why are you on the Chicago Beer Reddit and you don't know what's happening?
Right.
Yeah, because it's been known for, like, a year that they were moving after they opened.
Right,
yeah. So I personally would not consider it as an eviction because we knew it was coming.
That's what I thought.
I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to, you know, slam them like that, you know?
We took the brew bus there once. But they didn't pack it, so I didn't really get to Vice as much as I wanted to.
Yeah, I only
we did. We did the grand opening of Vice. We did a story on that, and then we did a preview story when it was just nothing in there, just the tanks. There was no built out tap room.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, kind of curious to know how they're doing. Homewood doesn't look bad. Mm-hmm. Strange hours though, because Homewood is like 4 p.m. start every day. It's a different vibe. It ain't like South Loop is actually like, you know, you're not too far from Soldier Field. There's some proper foot traffic if you're in South Loop. You ain't getting that foot traffic at Homewood.
Yeah, who knows? I bet that rent had to be crazy.
If
we knew, you know, Burnt City had trouble with their Lincolnwood spot or Lincoln Avenue spot, like, I can't imagine rent downtown
it's crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah, we talked to the Burn City guys. They said the old Burn City is going to be condos.
Go figure.
Just like the festival space that we used to party at.
So you got a lot of places for people to live and nothing to go to.
Yeah. Promiscuous and Delilah's, that's it. Delilah's ain't going nowhere.
No.
Hopefully. No, let's not curse it.
That place has been a bar since like 1898.
Let's not curse it.
Cool. Anything else before we get out of here?
We got a little bit of news.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. What's been happening?
Cheers to the good folks at Pollyanna. They announced their third location.
Okay.
So Rosalier is their one location, and then Lamont is another one. And now they're in St. Charles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, St. Charles, that's like edge of the earth.
Far away.
Situation.
Far away.
But they're right by Penrose.
Yeah, it's out there, but it's off the Fox River.
And then they're like just a hop skipping away from... Energy City. Batavia's right there.
Yeah. Home of the nuclear reactors.
No. That is incorrect.
I saw him at Bug, and I was like, dude, this nuclear reactors, right? And he told me what it was. I was like, yeah. And I still just remember it being a nuclear reactor. Miller Coors was in the news, man, because there is a former Miller Coors marketing executive who pleaded guilty to defrauding Miller Coors, based right downtown, next to Sears Tower, out of $9 million over 10 years. The 60-year-old dude pleaded guilty to wire fraud because over a decade, he was creating these parties and invoicing Miller Coors for them, but they were fake parties. He never threw the fucking party.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Dude,
I'm like, yeah, so he would build a company for promotional events that did not occur. Yeah.
Damn, $1 million a year.
Spent 31 years working his way up to a vice president job at Miller Coors.
Then to just be like, I see a hole here.
He was getting his severance package early.
Yeah, so $8 million. He is going to serve 48 months in prison.
Of course.
Stole $8 million and going to serve 48 months.
That's like nothing for them. I'm sure that's like a day of sales.
This is my favorite quote. He's like, my life has changed. It's changed forever. He's got a good lawyer, man. He only got 48 months.
Those white-collar crimes.
Yeah, that's funny. The good folks at Crystal Lake, they are brewing the house brew for the Hancock Building. Cool. It's called Top Brew View.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a golden wheat ale, just in time for summer. Yeah, sounds and good. You can find it exclusively at the Signature Room. That's the bar at the top of the Hancock.
I have never gone to the Signature Room.
Took my mom there once for Easter.
Okay.
They do a legit brunch. Their brunch is very legit. Wow. Yeah. So I like that place.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. We talked about the $60 barrel-aged release from Microphone, right?
Microphone, yeah.
Yeah, that was the S'more Cowbell, barrel-aged S'more Cowbell.
Not the smells like beans.
No, it wasn't.
That one blew up on Instagram this week, right?
Yeah, that's this one. That's this one. It's more cowbell because it gushed. Like, it was like we were talking about the price point, and then people were posting. Well, Microphone kind of said, hey, if you have issues, let us know, but there's so much sugar in it that, you know, something might happen, so keep it cold. Mm-hmm. And people's response to that were, hey, it is cold and it still gushes when you open. And it's a $60 fork.
I don't want to hear there's so much sugar in here.
That's not appealing, yeah.
Like, I already know all of these have a lot of sugar. You don't have to, like, remind me. This is not making me excited.
Basically, this beer is sweet as hell. Yeah. Made it even sweeter.
Yeah. We're all going to be fucked when the feds force breweries to put calories on.
Isn't it next year?
Man,
I thought all beers will have the labels left.
I'm never going to read the calories. I don't do it now. I'm never going to do it because that I don't need that type of negativity in my life.
I bet they dropped about 30% beer sales.
Dude, it's tough, man. I remember when Tom Quarter was at Goose, he said a 12, and they're 16-ounce bottles now, but the 12-ounce bottle of Bourbon County Stout had 500 calories and a pound of grain in every bottle.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to really mess with sales. I mean, people already know that these beers are high in calories. I mean, think about it.
I don't think people do, man.
I don't think it's the calories. I think when you're like, it's 500 calories, that means it's two Cokes. So you're drinking two Cokes worth of sugar. Like, there's the sugar level that's going to get people like, no way.
But it's beer, and I'm okay with that.
Who cares about the calories? The sugar level so bad. And that's, I think you'll see a lot of low sugar stuff happen.
Damn those
light beer kind of things, or rice beer.
You know, that's going to be my next Twitter question. When the calories hit the bottle, would that deter you from buying more beer?
But you need to know what they are, right? So. Yeah.
I don't need to know. I don't want to know. I'm going to buy it blindly. I'm never going to seek out how many calories there's in a beer.
If there's 500 in Bourbon County, what do you think's in here?
Oh, dude.
Man, so probably like 1,500.
Coca-Cola, yeah. Easy.
In our Dark Lord variant.
Man, cheers to the good folks at Goose Island. They turned 31 this year.
Mm-hmm.
They surprised founder John Hall by replacing that sterile granite bar at Clybourne with the original bar, the big, cool oak.
No.
They didn't do that?
No, they put it in the barrel warehouse.
Wait, so it's not at Clybourne?
No one can go to it unless you guard there for events.
What kind of shit is that? They didn't put it at Clybourne?
No.
Oh,
I don't think so, unless I wasn't clear on the story.
Yeah, I thought they surprised them by replacing the bar at Clybourne with the original bar.
I thought it was just at the Goose location.
That's a private joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would mean more if it was at Clybourne. That sucks. Oh, and also Keith Gabbett, man. Keith Gabbett got promoted to brewmaster at Goose Island. He's one of the original brewers pre-sale to AB. His wife actually is responsible for the recipe for Jillian, one of the sisters.
Nice.
I think it was modeled after like some strawberry ice cream she made with like white peppers in it. Yeah. I like Keith Gabbett, man. We hung out with him in Idaho at Elk Mountain Farms.
Okay.
He was my interview there. They round robbed you with a bunch of folks, and I got to sit down with Keith.
Cool.
Yeah. So cheers to him, man. And cheers to Chicago's oldest brewery, man. 31. They need to put that goddamn bar at Clybourne if it's not there.
Ouch. Now they can do the 31-2 beer.
I see what you did there.
All right. We should get out of here. Shalonda, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Afro Beer Chick on Twitter.
She's always engaging. Check that out.
Yes. I love my Twitter people.
You can follow us on Twitter, but we're not talking to you.
We're not engaging.
I'll talk to them. I'll talk to you guys. Just come to my Twitter page. We'll talk.
But Nick, you're always posting stuff. Where people find you, get in touch.
Man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
I'm on Twitter at BRad. And then we're on Instagram, though. Always posting up there.
Sexy.
Chicago Beer Pass on there. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, and the YouTube version. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.